So the work of Selma goes on. And here in Massachusetts, the next frontier in the fight for civil rights could be over public education, specifically charter schools. Three prominent Boston attorneys are preparing to sue the state to encourage it to lift the Massachusetts cap on charter schools. And there's been a long, deep divide over charters here in the state, but those on either side of that divide are now using strikingly similar language. Michael Keating, one of the attorneys filing the new suit, says that the cap limits access to quality education. This is, frankly, an issue of civil rights, he says, and this is an issue which the legislature, for one reason or another, has failed to act on. Well, Massachusetts Teacher Association President Barbara Mataloni evokes the same spirit, but in opposition to charters. She cited the NAACP in a statement, saying that, quote, as the NAACP has noted, charter schools violate students' civil rights by creating separate and unequal conditions for success. Well, we'll hear from a charter school opponent in just a moment. But first, one of the three attorneys behind the planned lawsuit, and the one you heard from just a moment ago in that quote, Michael Keating. He is a partner at the law firm Foley Hogue and chairman of the board of the Boston Foundation, which strongly supports the expansion of charter schools in Massachusetts. Michael Keating, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
So first of all, can you just tell us briefly, why is it specifically that you think the cap on charters violates student civil rights?
Well, the Massachusetts Constitution, a so-called Declaration of Rights, provides that the government must provide an adequate education for every citizen in Massachusetts. And the courts have interpreted that provision in the Constitution to say that there is an enforceable constitutional right that every citizen in this state has to such an adequate education and not to a two-tiered educational system, which is frankly what we have particularly in the inner cities in Massachusetts. The cap is unconstitutional in our judgment because it is an arbitrary ceiling on the number of charter schools that can exist. The Massachusetts Constitution has been interpreted by our courts to say that any educational criteria that is used to make these kind of determinations must be based on educational policy. Mm. And the cap is not based on educational policy. So what we have here in our judgment is that the cap itself violates the explicit terms of the Massachusetts Declaration of Rights as it has been interpreted by the Massachusetts
right.
courts.
Well, it's interesting that you say that there's a two-tiered system that exists already between urban and suburban schools in Massachusetts, because I note, again, from this statement from Barbara Mataloni, the MTA president, she also says that the problem is a different kind of two-tiered system could evolve if the charter school cap is lifted. She says a two-tiered school system funded by public dollars that charter proponents will go to any lengths to expand.
Well, I mean, in this sense, within the inner cities, with the existence of charters and the existence of district schools, there is somewhat of a two-tiered system, but it's unnecessary that there has to be that system. If the cap is lifted and the charter applicants satisfy the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education criteria, we can have charter schools coexisting with the district schools. I mean, there's nothing in this lawsuit that we're filing which is intended to diminish or to reduce or to do anything to hurt the district schools as they now exist. What we're trying to do is open the doors to children in this city who are unfortunately forced to be in unperforming schools to have the opportunity to be in high-performing charter schools.
Mm. But as you well know, the opponents of charter schools say specifically that by opening those doors, you are going to have, or they say you'll have exactly the outcome that you claim won't happen, that urban schools or inner city schools where students might leave from and go to charters, those are the schools that will end up being hurt. They'll lose funding, they'll have a different sort of student body makeup that might make it more challenging to provide quality education.
Well, I know that that's their contention, but I don't think that's actually the case. There are several school systems in the country, Washington, D.C. being a prime example, that have robust district schools and robust charter schools. And one of the policy decisions behind the creation of charter schools in 1993 in Massachusetts is that the charter schools, in many respects, could actually strengthen the district schools. They can adopt different educational technology. They can provide a greater opportunity for students that could be emulated by the district schools. So we don't regard this as, in any sense, as an effort to diminish the importance of the district schools. Mm. What we really regard it as a constitutional right of students in Massachusetts to the kind of education that charters provide. If district schools rise to that level, that would be all the better. But right now, the children who will go to the lottery this week and who do not get into the charter schools, and there are very, very many of them will not. In fact, most obviously will not. They, in our judgment, will be forced to take a sub-performing school as an alternative to charters, and we think that violates their constitutional rights.
Well, finally, Michael Keating, let me ask you. We noted that you had a quote earlier in the Boston Globe where you were saying that the legislature has failed to act to lift the charter cap. But I wonder why a lawsuit at this moment? Because right now we have a governor in Charlie Baker who has expressed clear support for removing the cap. His education secretary, Jim Pizer, is a strong advocate for charter schools. Boston has a newly appointed school superintendent in Tommy Chang, who was a charter school superintendent. So could the political tides be shifting in a way that obviates the need for a lawsuit?
I don't know the answer to that. I know that when you're dealing with issues of constitutional rights, and the legislature heretofore, in our judgment, at least particularly last year, did not lift the cap. I don't think our intention is to stand by and try to see what happens this year. They have their obligations, as does the governor. They'll do what they have to do. But we're going to the courts because we think that the legislature heretofore has not addressed the constitutional issues that we think are involved, and therefore we think we should advance this in the court system.
Mm. Michael Keating is a partner at the law firm Foley Hoag and chairman of the board of the Boston Foundation. He is one of three prominent Boston attorneys who is considering filing suit against the state to lift the state's cap on charter schools. Michael Keating, thank you so much.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
Well, let's turn now to the other side of this debate. Lisa Geisbond is executive director of Citizens for Public Schools, a group that opposes the expansion of charters in Massachusetts. Lisa Geisbond, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
So first of all, you heard Michael Keating say clearly a couple times there that he believes that lifting the cap on charter schools in Massachusetts is a constitutional right, and not doing so denies the civil rights of students in Massachusetts. What's your response to that?
Yes, I heard him say that, and it might not be his intent to create a separate and unequal dual school system, but I think we've seen that that's been happening with charter schools drawing resources away from traditional district schools, but excluding certain types of students, students with significant special needs, English language learners, poor students whose families don't have the wherewithal to navigate the charter school system. That's what we've seen happening, and we fear, we think this is a desperate civil rights issue, and we fear that giving unfettered growth to charter schools will only, you know, draw more scarce funding from the district schools while continuing to concentrate the most needy students in those schools.
Now, and, forgive me for interrupting you, but I take your point about the potential impact on a certain group of students who would remain in the district school. But what about what Michael Keating said about, you know, the civil rights of those students who wish to go to a charter school, who are amongst, you know, the many students and families on the waiting list for charters? And their right to seek out the best public education they can find.
Well, the Commonwealth has a constitutional duty to provide a quality education for all children, rich and poor, in every city and town through the public schools. All children, not a subset of children. And I think a more valuable lawsuit that these lawyers could file would be to sue the state to provide adequate funding for the schools that serve all our children. You mentioned the NAACP statement about charter schools drawing funding away from already underfunded traditional public schools and serving only a small percentage of children. They're talking about children of color and disadvantaged students. I'm talking about also these protected, these other protected classes of students that have not been included in charter schools. So it just, it really goes against my understanding of what civil rights is all about if you're talking about creating a separate and unequal system that really does take away from the schools that serve the vast majority of our students. Mm-hmm. Public education should be about all of our students, not a separate group.
Well, let me finally ask you, if I may, a question in the same vein that I asked Michael Keating, and that is sort of where the state finds itself right now with Governor Baker at the helm, and you know, his education secretary, and you know, specifically in Boston, a new superintendent, all being vocal advocates of charter schools. Do you feel that the tide may be turning overall in Massachusetts?
I think there are tides turning in different directions. I think one reason why the charter proponents and their backers, like the Boston Foundation, are turning to this legal avenue is they've seen, as more and more people kind of experience the reality of charter schools, their strict discipline, the way they push children out, the way they take resources away, there's more of a popular opposition, which we saw result in the state Senate voting not to lift the cap. So there's that trend and movement more and more. You know, it's not just a theory now. We've seen charter schools in action. We've seen how they treat certain kids, how they push kids out, how they affect the district schools.
Right.
And there are families who've been through the charter mill and pushed out, and they've come back to their communities to tell their stories. So that's going on. And then we have this other political shift with our new governor and his choices
at the State House, indeed. Well, Lisa Geisbahn, Executive Director of Citizens for Public Schools, a group that opposes the expansion of charter schools in Massachusetts, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we always want to know what you think, so send us a tweet at Radio Boston or jump online at radioboston.org and give us your thought on lifting the cap or not on charter schools in Massachusetts. There's more of the show coming up in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.